It is a pleasure to be with you again this morning. We trust that we should know the Lord's blessing as we come now to the Word of God. Please turn with me this morning to that portion that was read from the prophecy of Micah, chapter 7. Prophecy of Micah, chapter 7, and we take as our text the verse 18. Micah, chapter 7, and the verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger for ever, because he delighteth in mercy. Here the prophet brings before us a great and a wonderful God, who is not comparable to any other, who is not like any other, in heaven or in the earth, but one who is above all, one who is set in the heavens, established there forever, reigning, and yet showing such great mercy to undeserving children of men. This prophecy of Micah is very sad. We find the prophet bemoaning the state of the nation, bemoaning the wickedness of the people, and how much that the Lord has a controversy with them, as he says in one of the chapters here. We read in the first chapter how that the Lord has a controversy against his people, and indeed he is about shortly to come forth out of his place and to come down. The mountains to be molten under him, the valleys shall be cleft as wax before the fire, and so forth, for the transgression of Jacob, for the sins of the people, having sinned against him, so he must have their due. And Micah is coming to warn them. He is coming to speak earnestly to them and to exhort them that they would turn to the Lord their God, that they would seek his mercy, they would seek his face, that they would come to him again. For this was a God who pardoned, a God who was full of mercy and compassion. As he proceeds, and we find throughout this prophecy, there is a mixture of these two together, stern warnings and threatenings of judgment and punishment, yet mingled with earnest exhortations and assurances of mercy if they would but come to him and return to the Lord. And we find, as we come into this last chapter, the prophet himself finds such a frame. He speaks personally something more. He gives counsel in the fifth verse not to trust in friends and so forth. But he says, as for me, my testimony is this, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God shall hear me. And though the state of the nation was so poor, though there was so much wickedness, though so much evil abounded amongst the people, and though he was coming with such solemn words, he comes now, as it were, at the conclusion of this prophecy. And he turns almost with a tone of great wonder and great delight. Who is a God like unto thee? Surely there is none. A God who has been so awfully offended against. A God against whom no end of trespasses have been committed. A God who has still shown so much favor and so much grace all this time. And yet the people have rejected him. They have turned away from him. They have not sought his face. And yet still, all this time, he has shown them mercy. He has kept them alive. He has preserved them. He has brought them through even to the present day. They are still there. Today is still the day of salvation. Now, if any man hear his voice, surely he will hear and yet have mercy. This is not a God who merely performs justice from heaven, not a God who merely threatens and performs his threatenings, not merely a God who will not hear the cries of an afflicted people. This is no cold, impersonal judge from heaven. But my friends, see, here is a God like no other, a God who is not to be compared to any other. How may we see this in so many ways? There are certain things which are drawn out particularly here, but if we just stop for a moment and think, what more may there be? All the gods of this world, all the gods of the various different religions, we find that they are so impotent, They are not able to do things. They are weak. They are feeble. And my friends, so often, even in the minds of their followers, they will admit sometimes how that even those who they follow, those that they admire in their religions, their leaders, they are yet sinful. They yet do things which are immoral, which are indecent, and so forth. But what do we find here? Here is a God of perfect holiness. Here is a God of infinite power who can do all things. Here is a God who cannot be challenged, who cannot be stood up against, who cannot be stopped in his way, who must have his will to be done. Here is a God who never had any beginning, never had any end. A God who is always in existence, never ceasing, never failing, never losing strength, never gaining strength, but always infinite, eternal, and omnipotent strength is his. And always he shall reign, established in heaven, none moving him. There is no God like this. There is no God who has such power as this. No God who has such knowledge as his, so as to know your heart and mine even this morning, and to know the hearts of every man and woman alive on this world, to know all the thoughts of all those who pass by, those of every one of us here assembled together, to know what is passing through our minds, what is it in our hearts. He knows all. He knows what we worship. He knows what is important to us. He knows what matters to us. He knows if we yet reject him. He knows if we love him. My friends, this God, his knowledge, his wisdom is infinite. All things are done. All things in this world are overseen by his providence. And all things are done for the great glory of his name, that he might be exalted. But particularly here, there are certain things drawn out for which he is incomparable. We find here, who is a God like unto thee? And see, here is something of a wonder. He could have drawn out any number of things, of his holiness, his knowledge, his wisdom, his strength, his power, his might, and so forth. But rather, he focuses upon these matters, that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. What a mercy that he draws upon these to bring to their attention now in his final words. A God that pardoneth iniquity. One that is willing and able and ready to show mercy. We have something of a picture here. Pardoning sins and passing by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. This perhaps takes us back in our minds to that time when the children of Israel were slaves in Egypt. There they were, in bondage. But the Lord had promised to deliver them, and in fullness of time he brought it to pass. It was hard. Pharaoh would not let the people go. And Moses finds himself rebuffed as he seeks to lead them out. And the Lord works those 10 great and mighty plagues across the land of Egypt. The last of these was the murdering, the slaying of all the firstborn of Egypt. And at that time, there was appointed a way for the firstborn in Egypt should all be killed by the Lord in this last great plague. But the children of Israel were commanded to make provision. They were, in short, and there are many details of it, but for the sake of time this morning, I should just mention very briefly the principal matter. They were to kill a lamb, and they were to smear the blood of that lamb upon the doorposts and upon the lintels of their houses. And when the destroying angel passed through Egypt, when the Lord came to kill the firstborn sons of Egypt, and he saw the blood on the doorposts and on the lintel, he would pass them by. This is a powerful image, and this perhaps is something alluded to here, passing by the transgression because of the blood. It is not possible for a God who knows all things merely to ignore our sins. He cannot just merely pretend that they never happened, for he knows that they happened. They were an insult, an offense against him, and they cannot go unpunished. Something must be done with them. And so we see, my friends, how the blood must be shed. That blood that was shed at the Passover, the blood of all those lambs which were killed, that the blood might be put upon the posts of the door and on the lintel, that was only a type. The blood of lambs, bulls, and goats could not do them any good of itself. But see, it pointed forwards, because there was a time to come when there would be nobler blood. Blood would flow, but not from lambs, not from goats, but from one who had come to stand as a substitute for man, the Son of God himself. This, the sacrifice that all this pointed forwards to, this which it anticipated, which it shadowed. And then, in the fullness of time, we read of the Son of God coming into the world. We read of him there upon Calvary's tree, there, bleeding and dying for sinners, for lost souls, for those who had trespassed against the Almighty God, for those who had sinned against him and committed such heinous crimes against him. Even for such, the Son of God came into the world and there shed his blood upon the tree. My friends, those who are sheltered in Christ's blood, those who are covered by his blood, they may be passed by. It is upon these that such mercy is shown. This is how justice can be satisfied. It could not be they could be ignored. There was no other way that man could deal with his own sins. Some religions in this world suppose that they can find their way to heaven or their place of paradise merely if they try to do the very best they can in this world. If they merely try to follow all their moral code and their standards and worship in all the right way their deity, whoever it may be. What a delusion. Sin is so ingrained in us, we cannot escape it. We cannot get away from it. It is with us everywhere we go. It is, as it were, a constant companion to us. Wherever we go, in whatever company we keep, even finding ourselves here this morning, in a place of worship, yet we may still find there is sin with us. It does not leave us for a moment. It is part of our old nature, and whilst we are in this world, we cannot fully be rid of it. My friends, we cannot deal with it. We can try reforming ourselves. We can try being moral and upright, but this will do us no good. My friends, here is the only answer. It is from this God who is incomparable, this God who reigns in the heavens, this God who is like no other. Now from him we may hope to have salvation, from him we may hope to have help, but from none other. Just as there is none other like him, there is salvation to be found in no other name under heaven. There is no other name whereby we may be saved, except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In him alone is salvation. In him alone is cleansing from sins, and in his shed blood. This is how sins may be passed over. This is how the Lord, the Almighty God, may look with justice and yet pronounce a man to be clean. Not because of his own ability, not because of his own righteousness, not because of anything he has done, but all because of what Christ has done. And when God looks upon a believer, what does he see? He does not see him for all his sins, but he sees him as he is in Jesus Christ, as he is in his Son. And seeing that, he sees one who is beloved, one who is delighted in, one who is a joy and a glory, in a sense. What a wonder that there is such a way. Can we not marvel that there was in the mind of God in eternity past such a way contrived, that mercy might be shown, that such salvation might be presented to sinful man, that Christ would send forth his ministers into all the world, the apostles at the very first, and all those who have followed after them, going forth into the highways and the byways, declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ, calling all who were heavy laden and burdened under their sins to turn into him, to come to him and to plead with him for salvation. Is not this a wonder? What a provision this is! What a wonder that now such a message may be freely proclaimed. And I call on you this morning to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to the God of salvation. Look to the God who is able to save. Call upon him, even this morning. Seek his face. Plead with him. For he is able to save. He has mercy upon those who call upon him. He is such a God that pardoneth iniquity. However great it may be, however great your sins may be, however evil you may be, or feel yourself to be, yet he is able to forgive to the uttermost a man's sins, to cleanse him entirely from them, to purge him from all that stain which sin had cast upon his nature, and to cause him to be brought into the love of God. What do we find here? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. What God is like this? Who, in all the world over, if we were to search in heaven, in the earth, in the sea, amongst all the deities that man has invented, in all the centuries of this world, who is to be found like this? Surely there is none like our God. There is none like to this God. There is none who provides salvation full and free to those who call upon his name and call sinners even to come to him. He retaineth not his anger forever. Angry he is. We read that God is angry with the wicked every day. Justice demands it. This is not like what we would perhaps express as anger. This is not some uncontrolled passion which bursts forth, but rather we may think of it as merely the natural reaction of holiness against sin. That which is clean to that which is unclean. There is no human uncontrolled passion in this whatsoever. It is, as it were, we might say, measured. It is deliberate. It is just merely a natural reaction. That which is holy cannot stand that which is unclean and unholy. There can be no mingling of these two with God. Therefore, such is his condition. And my friend, such is his thought towards us. There is anger against wickedness. There is anger against the wicked, all those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, what mercy is this? Even to such, the word of grace is extended. Even to such who have offended so much, even to such against God, whom God has anger because of sin, even to those this word goes forth. Even to such there is mercy to be had. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. And thus it is in so many, those whom he called in out of the world. What do we find? His anger is not upon us forever, but he shows mercy. We are called to be vessels of mercy rather than vessels of wrath. And so there is so much mercy shown, so much grace on those who deserve nothing from the Lord. This just, this holy God, yet who delighteth in mercy. What are we to make of this? Well, surely we do well to wonder at it. We do well to marvel at this great plan, this great way which was opened up, this great salvation, this marvelous God. We do well to fall down and to worship before this King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is not just, but also merciful towards those who call upon him. We do well to do that. But my friends, more. There is such a way. There is salvation. Will he not apply for it? Will he not come to the Lord and seek him for it? Here is salvation. Salvation which would snatch you from your natural destination. Salvation which might take you from having a hopeless eternity to glory. Salvation which would save you from your sins, which would save you from despair, save you from wrath in this life and the next. Salvation which should bring such hope and joy, not just the joy of this world, but true, lasting joy, such as only the children of God can know, because it never passes away, it never fails, it never ceases. Here is such love presented to view. The love of God towards his people, the mercy that he shows to them, his love shown to them in so many respects, drawing near to them and helping them in all their troubles, his love shown to them in showing mercy when they fall, when they sin against him, bringing back the backslider, working in them to sanctify them and to prepare them to glory, and of course to bring them and to keep them at last and to bring them into that place of glory, a death, rather than facing such uncertainty and awful terror that the wicked shall know when they are cast into the fire at the last, who know not Christ. This is the gospel. This is the fruit of it. This is what we are promised. Oh, my friends, would you not long that you might be right with your Maker, that you might be right with the God of heaven, who speaks such words to you of love and comfort, who calls you to him, to serve him, and to be his? Here is such mercy. Will you spurn it? Will you turn away from it? Will you ignore such words as these? Perhaps you have heard such things many times. Perhaps you have heard the gospel preached on many occasions. You have sat under it. And you now just think, I've heard this all so many times before. I'm hearing it all over again. Are you going to leave it at that? Do you not see what glory there is in it? What mercy there is that is shown here? I urge you, do not leave it any longer. You cannot tell what shall be of you at the last. You cannot tell how long you have, how much longer this glorious gospel is to be yours, as it were, for the taking. You know not how long it will be before the day of salvation will be over for you. And this mercy, no longer, as it were, before you. Now is the day of salvation. Now the God of heaven comes with a word to you of mercy, that he will spare those who call upon his name. He will show kindness to them, though they deserve nothing from him. Still, he may have mercy. We see here even, continuing on, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. My friends, so it may be. If you call upon the name of the Lord, if you pray to him and plead that he would forgive you from all your many sins, surely he will turn to you. Though it may be that you have felt conviction from sin, though it may be that you see yourself to be so wretched and so sinful as that you cannot approach to God, yet even to such, the Lord will be pleased to turn. Christ Jesus, what do we read of him? He came into the world to save sinners. He came not to call the righteous, not those who are just fine by themselves, but he came to call sinners. Those who are vile, those who are debased, those who are sinful, those who are evil, those who have done much despicable wrong in his sight. For such the Savior came. For such the Savior died. My dear friends, mercy is shown to such. Mercy is shown to such as those who come to him, who call upon his name, who plead with him for this. Such is the way, my friends. It seems so simple, and yet so many stumble at this. It is but to look to the Savior, to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, to call upon him. Will he not? Will he turn away this morning? Perhaps again for the 100th time? Life is but a vapor. Now is the day of salvation. Here it is. A God like no other. A God who justly and naturally should condemn every man eternally to punishment, and yet willing to show mercy. Will you not seek his face, seek to be right with him this morning, and seek that you may know something of this mercy? My friends, I urge you, consider these things seriously. Take care for your souls. Take care for your eternity. Take care to be right with your God who created you. Who is a God like unto our God? Surely there is none, but mercy may be had from his hand. So I plead with you, call upon him even this morning and seek his face, and surely you will find mercy. Oh, may the Lord be pleased to bless these things to our souls and grant salvation to those who know not the Saviour, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.